Want to sharpen your game? Join the DFM Coaching Patreon for exclusive technique breakdowns and mindset training. Now, let's get started.
Welcome to Tapped In. My name is David Figueroa Martinez. Today, we're discussing what it takes to earn that first stripe. This is going to change from person to person in some regard, and this definitely is going to change from coach to coach. We are all grading differently. We're looking for different things. We have different curriculums. We're applying jiu-jitsu differently when we're teaching. We're looking at people differently. Are they in their 40s? Are they 50s? Are they 18, 19? Are they a kid? Are we dealing with a competitor? All these things go into it, and I've discussed that at length in some other episodes. But what I'm more focusing on is the hobbyist that comes through the door who's looking to get that first stripe. I'm going to be honest. While I do not hand out stripes to just hand them out, I am lenient on that first one, maybe two. I am more stringent when it comes to getting the belt promotion. So while I might be a little lenient in a degree or two for the sake of maybe creating a moment of, hey, you're doing the right thing. You may not technically be somewhere, but I'm going to get you the stripe because I need you to stay motivated, especially early on in the journey. And then when you start getting to belts, I'm a little bit more specific on what I'm actually looking for and what I want to see a student doing. So let's say you're brand new jiu-jitsu, you just came through the door, you're a couple of months in. I don't necessarily have a written down curriculum. I don't. And some people say you need to and some people don't. I tend to adjust based on what I'm seeing from the students. So if I'm teaching a class and we're a couple of months in and I'm seeing similar mistakes or similar tendencies or holes in the game that I think need to be addressed, then I start teaching based on what I'm seeing. I do not go out and be like, okay, that first week of the month, we're going to teach this. Second week, like, we're going to teach that. It's more by feel. And I think that's the way I was brought up a bit. I do make changes to how I teach because I teach in a more lineal. I teach you A, B, I teach you an option when they respond. I teach you another option. So the techniques that I teach in a class and in a week all connect. And you're building a game based on whatever scenario we're running. Well, every technique is joined. There's a connecting factor. But I do not play I don't have a set curriculum that like the association has given me or that the head instructor relies on. I'm genuinely basing what I'm going to teach based on what the students are doing. If they show me that they have certain tendencies to butterfly guard, but they're not quite there, we're going to go over butterfly. If I notice that they're having issues escaping from bottom, let's start reviewing some escapes again. Like, we're not doing some of the things that we should be doing. And that's just the way I kind of run it. It's a little bit more organic. I'm looking for feel. I'm looking for things that I'm not liking or things that I'm seeing that they're doing, at least they're hinting at, but maybe they need a little bit more understanding. That's what I go for. So that first stripe for me, if you're someone who's coming to class consistently, you're doing some of the things that I'm going to review in a minute, you're going to get that first stripe. And for me, it's based on those things that I'm going to review, your attitude and how you're vibing with other people. And I'm not saying that you need to be popular. That's not what I'm getting at. But I want to see that you're adapting to jiu-jitsu. I want to see that you're rolling in a way that's safe for people to roll with. That you're not, and some people have a issue with the term spazzing out. You're not crazy. You've dialed back that initial reaction of wanting to go crazy because it's fight or flight. You've dialed that back a bit. You're someone who is cognizant of jiu-jitsu in the format as much as you can understand. That's a huge aspect. The technical parts of it, I think, come later. And I don't get too hazy or too specific in, oh, they did this or they don't do this. I'm not that first stripe. That first stripe, again, is not a participation trophy or medal or degree or stripe. It's none of those things. It's, I want to see if you're committing to the art in the time frame that you've been there. So I want to see consistency. I want to see that you're someone who's able to show up. I don't know. If your schedule allows 2 to 3, that's fine. 3 to 4, fine. But whatever it is that your schedule is allowing for, that you're coming regularly. You don't have to be like clockwork. I think that in a realistic term, we're all going to have jobs that kind of interfere. We're going to have moments we get sick or moments that we have a sick spouse or child or whatever, that it, we're not going to maintain that schedule all the time. And, but when I can see, yeah, I know this guy's going to be in this week a couple times. I'm happy. When I can see that the student is paying attention to the fundamentals, they're framing a bit better. They're not pushing. They're using the frames of their arms. When they're understanding that they can't push someone away, they're pushing themselves away. And I know that's a slightly little bit more advanced, but they're making the space to at least start to initiate solid or decent early aspects of an escape. A lot of the things that you're going to do as a one stripe or less white belt are going to fail miserably. You're going to mess up quite a bit. And so again, I'm not gauging it on your success rate. I'm gauging it on what are you initiating? Do you at least understand the first parts of the escapes that you're going to be doing? Do you at least understand maybe an attack or two, the early stages? You're not hitting it. You're not submitting anyone. Chances are you're not even getting close to a submission. But are you understanding the elements of the attack that you're using, the escape that you're using? I want to see that. I want to see someone who is coachable. I want you to ask questions. I want you to pay attention to what other people are doing. You don't have to ask questions for me. I think early on, a lot of students don't feel comfortable asking. They're new to the group. They don't, it's an odd situation. So sometimes people don't ask. I think that our newer white belts in the class that I'm running do ask relatively often. But sometimes you're so new, you think that your question's so dumb. I'll say this right now. There are literally no dumb questions when it comes to jiu-jitsu. There's a lot of context to the answers, and sometimes the answers are too riddled with context for you to understand. Sometimes I can give you an answer to something, and because you asked the question a certain way, it clicks with someone else that might be a purple belt. And they've been doing what you're about to ask, maybe incorrectly. Like maybe they push when they do a hip escape and they're pushing with the arms too much. And then when I review it with you, because based on your question, I'm saying, no, use the structure of your arms opposed to the musculature. And then I demonstrate it and then it may click with them. It's been working with them because they're able to push with muscle. They're at an age or maybe they're a size that allows them to do that. But then they realize, oh, I didn't quite understand that when I'm tired, I can't quite escape effectively. But I've never bothered to ask. So then you ask your question, which is quote unquote dumb, super simple. And then they see, oh, okay, I get it. Not a dumb question. Sometimes the best questions are from white belts. But the blues and purples think they think they know the answer because the answer is very basic. But then there's so much nuance to the answers that the answer that I give a white belt is going to be different than the answer for the same question that I might give a purple and brown belt because there's more context, there's more detail, there's more to expect. So coachability is a massive aspect of this. If I can get someone who comes in and they're legitimately asking questions, they're doing the things that I'm kind of telling them to do. Like, hey, I noticed that you like, I don't know, mount. I need you to widen your knees a little bit, lower your chest and get heavy. I have two teens, different schools, and they're not mine, I should say. One of them is in the morning class at La Mesa, and one of them is at Five Peaks. And they come to my classes regularly, the ones that I teach regularly at La Mesa and in the workshops that I do at other locations. One of the teens comes to both of those. One of them just comes to the morning class. They both have this, and I think that it's because they're teen girls, women, that they capture information a little bit better and they can understand information a little bit better sometimes in the men. And I don't say that disrespectfully, but I think women understand some information better than men. Because when I watch these two in their teens, I can call something out and be like, hey, I want you to do this, this, and this. Super quick. And they start doing it right away. They'll go to a class. The one from Five Peaks will come to my class and she'll ask me a question. Hey, I'm having issues with blah, 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 whatever it might be. And I'll spend a minute or two with her. Show her, hey, I want you to do this. And then during that same open mat, I'll look over and she's executing the thing that I just told her to execute. That's coachability. Whether you can execute it to that level is, again, comes with maturity in the sport. If you're 4, 5, 6 months in, you're not going to do it at a high level, obviously. You're not even going to do it at a mid-level. You're going to be a novice, but you at least can initiate the beginnings of the technique and the thing that you want to do. And that's really what I want to see. I want to see someone who's coaching or can receive coaching effectively, can receive criticism effectively. Hey, I noticed that you did this. Sometimes some students will say, yeah, but I was going for this. And my frustration sometimes is that I know what you were going for. I've seen this video quite often. I know exactly what you're going for. But I think you should do this because of your skill level and because of you're not going to quite understand what's going to come after the option that you chose. And because you went that route, they demolished your frames, they demolished your defensive capabilities, and they got you in a bad position. Let's work on this first. Understand the defensive capabilities of a solid side control escape, the framing, the getting that inside knee in, the hip escape, the bridge. The bridge is a big one. And then let's start building an offense based on that, not something else. And the reason I kind of harp on that is because it's the easiest way to get you to understand getting from defensive to offense quicker without the gaps. And when I can get a student to understand that, their game starts to enrich a little bit. So that coachability is massive. And whenever I can get that out of a student early, I want to reward it because it doesn't come out with everyone. Some people get really defensive when it gets to coaching. Some people have a hard time kind of understanding everything. And I can't quite break some people of that. So your ability to get coached really does matter. Your ability to understand that you're going to suck. My favorite people, to my highest respect, goes to the people who are in their 40s and or older and starting jiu-jitsu. That takes tremendous courage. That takes tremendous understanding that my withered body from work, from life, from whatever sport I was playing before or whatever job I had before is going to be tested in a way that most people my age don't want to do. And I'm still there. Let's say you start at 40, brand new white belt. You come onto the mats. You're not jacked. You're not a super athlete. You came in, you have a desk job and you're signed up for this art that puts a punishing toll on your body and you accept it and you come in the next day, the day after that, and you're coming in 3-4 times a week and you're just excited to continue to train, even though it is so uncomfortable and sometimes painful. That is the one group, the group that I respect most, the group I respect most, because you don't have to do this. You can go do something else. You can go play golf. You can go do something that's easier on the body easily, or you can do nothing. But there's something about you that says, I'm going to come into this space that's built for, respectfully, young men and women, because it's a hard sport. We can alter it. We can make things easier for older athletes. We can downgrade some things. We can make it less intense or less violent or less active. We can do all those things, but it's still a contact sport, and that contact sport puts a toll on our bodies. And when I can see someone coming in, I got an older gentleman that comes in, I think he's old, one stripe, maybe no stripe. I don't remember. And he's eager to play. He's eager to get out there and just, and he's getting wrecked. And then he has his moments and then he gets wrecked again. Then he has his moments and he's loving the sport and he wants to come in and he enjoys himself. Like a huge amount of respect for that. So it just, the idea that I'm going to be comfortable being the nail for a while. Like if you can understand that, jiu-jitsu is going to start to make sense after a while. And I think that also, lastly, when I give that stripe, I'm looking for all the things that I mentioned. And then the purpose of it isn't to necessarily say that, hey, you've gained the adequate technical know-how. That first stripe sometimes is, I'm seeing that you're coachable. I'm seeing that you're comfortable with being uncomfortable. I'm seeing that you're starting to learn just at least the facets of some of the fundamentals. I'm seeing that you're consistent. I want you to continue training with me under this roof. I'm going to give you this stripe in the hopes that it's a small breadcrumb towards the other stripes and eventually blue belt. I'm not, again, it's not a participation trophy. It's really I see how hard you're working. Things are not quite making sense for you right now, but I'm telling you, if you keep at it, you're on the cusp of making those connections, those early connections that really kind of like push you forward. You're getting there. Here's that stripe. That's for me what a first degree for a stripe is for a white belt. Some people are going to do it completely different. And I'm not judging anyone for how they do it. I'm good. I'm fine. That's the way I run it. I don't need you to be a barn burner. I don't need you to be to getting submissions. I don't need you to do any of those things. I need you to do the things that I just mentioned. And if you can do those things, then I can coach you to whatever belt you are willing to stick around long enough for. If you have any questions, comments, if you want to share this, please do. I would be so thankful if you did. If you can leave a rating on Spotify or Apple or whatever, share this with friends. I'm really enjoying doing these. If you have any questions, hit me up, dfm.2099 on Instagram and Threads, DFM Coaching, if you'd like to work with me. Again, any questions, shoot me a line. I love answering questions. I like helping people. Also, we have a school group, DFM Coaching BJJ. If you want to add that, it is completely free. Until next time, thank you so much.